Good morning. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, bringing you another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message we call the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Yes, we're coming here each morning bringing you Thus Saith the Lord. We're bringing you a series of studies now on the sovereignty of God, looking at God's sovereignty as set forth in the Word of God. Let's turn in our Bibles now, and we're reading and studying our God's sovereignty manifested. But look at Ephesians 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children, of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We notice here it says, in love having predestinated us. Did he foreknow, elect, and predestinate us according to something he saw in us? Oh, no. Did he elect us because he thought that we would believe? No. Did he predestinate us because he saw some excellency in our character? No. Did he elect us because of what he foresaw we would become? No. Listen to God's word. In love, having predestinated us. How? According to the good pleasure of his will. He loved us because he willed to love us. He chose us because he willed to choose us. Each one of God's elect was no different from other member of the human race when God chose us. Now, I know someone will jump up and chomp their bits and bite 10-penny nails in two and say, well, that's not fair. God's not fair. God didn't treat. Listen, God does as he chooses, my friend. What makes a difference? Grace. God's grace makes a difference accordingly. That's right, according to 1 Corinthians 4:7. The individual whom God chooses and calls and saves always wonder why God chose him. Do you know why the Lord saved you, believer? My friend, my man friend there this morning, do you know why the Lord saved you if you know the Lord? You always will wonder. At first, he's made to wonder, well, what did God see in me to choose me? My friend, he didn't see one blessed thing in the world. He chose us because of his own will. Do you know what that does to the sinner? It humbles us. The Lord knows how to humble us. He lets us look back, see where we were in sin, running in sin, living in sin, loving sin, and then he chose us out of that life and saved us. And what does it do? It makes us humble. Doesn't that make you humble, my friend? He saved us because of his own pleasure and no other reason. There is no other reason. There is no other reason. When we speak of the sovereignty of God, we speak of that which characterizes the whole being of God. God is sovereign. That's right. He's sovereign. There's no other way to describe him. Surely he's holy. Surely he's faithful. Surely he's a just God. But he's sovereign. What does that mean to you? It means that he does as he wills. We saw in our last study that God is sovereign in his love. He loves whom he will. No one says nay to him. God is sovereign in his exercise of power. God manifests his power as he will, when he will and where he will. Then, my friend, then this is set forth throughout the entire Bible. Take, for example, the case of old Pharaoh, when he determined to destroy God's people back there in Egypt. God exercised his power, delivered his people, and then took Pharaoh's life. In contrast to that manifestation of God's power, just a little later when the Amalekites attacked God's people in their wilderness march, God did not put forth his hand in power to destroy them, but he said that he would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Then when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River and came to the city of Jericho, God stretched forth his hand in power, and the walls of that city came down to the ground. But he didn't destroy any other city like that. His people had to destroy all the other cities by the word. Now, my friend, that means, that sets forth the sovereignty of God. He did as he chose to do. We see him saving Rahab the harlot there in that wicked city of Jericho. We saw how the providence of God, the predestination of God, and the sovereignty of God was manifested there in the salvation of Rahab the harlot. Yes, she was a harlot at one time. She was a street woman. That's right. But the Lord chose her. He chose her. There was thousands of other women there. He didn't choose them. How can you not believe that God chooses his own, my friend? Listen, it was not anything about Rahab that the Lord saw that turned him toward you. You and I, men, we see some nice-looking lady. Well, we go about looking, admiring those beauty. We see those who are beautiful. But the Lord sees no beauty in you and me. He doesn't see any beauty in us. He doesn't see one thing. No, he doesn't. Brother Spurgeon told a story one time. He was talking along this line, and he said, you know, it's amazing to me how the politicians always kiss the babies whose mother is a pretty woman. Isn't that something? Because they choose to do that. I think that's a little lust mixed up there in it. But listen now, let's look at another phase of the manifestation of the power of God. Let's look at the power of God. God delivered David from old Goliath the giant. Have you ever read that story lately? How David took a little slingshot and a smooth stone and slung that stone out there and hit the old giant right between the eyes. That's right. That's right. He took a little slingshot, a little sling, they called it, and the Lord directed that stone. No, it wasn't a human thing, my friend. God directed that stone so that he would have power over old Goliath. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Do you think Daniel came out of the lion's den unhurt because of some magic that he worked? No. God shut the mouth of those lions. He shut their mouth. They could not open their mouths to destroy or to hurt Goliath. No. They couldn't do one thing. There's not one thing they could do, my friend. No, and I was reading in a day or so ago about when the lion shall lay down with the child shall play on the lion's paws and all of those things. Won't that be great when we get to heaven and all the curse will be removed from the animals? Did you know the animals were cursed the same time as the human race was cursed? Did you know that? Yeah, that's right. That's right. Did you know that they were cursed the same time that the human race was cursed? That's right, my friend. But the Lord's going to remove that curse one day. And all of those things is because of the sovereignty of God. Now listen. We like to think and meditate upon God exercising his power in such manner. But we need to read in Hebrews 11:36-37. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging. Yes. More were slain with, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. God didn't deliver those. He didn't choose to deliver them. He let them go on by the persecution of those that persecuted them. They were sawn asunder, slain with the sword. Now, the question you may want to ask, why were these men of faith not delivered like the others? Let's take another example. We turn to the Acts of the Apostles, and we find that God delivered Peter from the sword and let Stephen be stoned to death. Can you reconcile that with a human reasoning, my friend? No. No. It sets forth the sovereignty of God in the exercise of the manifestation of the power of God. You may ask the question, well, why does God act in such a way? Because he's sovereign, and he does as he pleases. I wish I could drive that truth home this morning. Would you drive a peg down there and hold it, my friend? God does as he pleases with you. You're in the hands of a sovereign God. And then we have folks who rare and buck and pitch when they're a little old finite creature. It's just like an elephant stepping on an ant out there on the sidewalk. My friend, you're not anything in the sight of God. No, you're not. Did you ever see a little old ant crawling across the sidewalk and you put your foot there in his way and he'll bow up at you like a tiger? No, my friend. That's what man does towards God. That's right. Man always questions God. But God is sovereign, does as he pleases, and never asks any man anything, never gives man any explanation why he does it. He does it for his own glory. That's right, as it pleases him. Let's notice that fact, my friend. Let's notice that fact again. God is sovereign in the delegation of his power to others. Why does God permit one man to live to a ripe old age and cut one down in the prime of youth? Folks get all bent out of shape, so to speak, when a young person gets killed in a car wreck. Oh, it's such a tragedy. This young man went on out. He never had lived a full life. Well, that's God's business, my friend. That's God's business. Then we see others live old, and get these terrible debilitating diseases in their old age, and you say, well, why? Because that's God's will. Listen, my friend. Why does he let one individual become wealthy and another individual remain a pauper? Have you ever thought about that? My friend, if you have money this morning, why did the Lord allow you to make money? It's because of his sovereign will. You didn't do anything. The Lord gave you the power to make money. He does as he pleases. That's right. And it's because of his sovereignty. My friend, if we would recognize the sovereignty of God, that God is on the throne, it would be one of the greatest blessings that ever came to your heart and your life. That's right. If you would just sit down and recognize that you're not anything in God's sight, you know, when you become something in God's sight, when you come to trust the Lord, then you're his child. Then you're the apple of his eye. Then you can come to him as a child cometh to his father and bringeth his petitions there. Let me read this verse of scripture in Luke 18:24. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said to him, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they heard it. They who heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, listen now. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, my friend, the sooner we learn, I know that was the case in my life. I didn't know what the word sovereignty meant. I didn't know what the total depravity of man was because I was not raised in a religious home where there was any religious training whatsoever. Not that that would have done any good. I praise the Lord that I wasn't steeped in religion back there as a child. But listen, the Lord taught me that he was sovereign. He does as he pleases. You can gnash on your teeth on him. You can rant and rave and pitch and buck and say, well, I'll not have that man to rule over me, speaking of the Lord. But you will. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what you're going to do, my friend. One day you're going to bow to a sovereign God. One day, if you get to heaven, you'll find out that God is sovereign. That's right. He does. It basically means he does as he pleases. Did God consult you when he formed the world? When he flung the stars out into creation? When he made the moon and the seas and all of the... No, he never consulted with anyone. No, he didn't. No, listen, folks. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. I wish you'd listen. And let me give you our mailing address. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking. I wish you'd write me and let me hear from you. It's been good to have been with you this morning. And I wish you'd listen to this study. It's going to take us a couple of weeks, maybe, or longer, to get through with these studies here on the sovereignty of God that blessed my heart. I'm going back getting a blessing out of bringing them to you, seeing how our God is sovereign. Oh, if we could just bow at the feet of a sovereign God. That's what we'll have to do one day, my friend, because he holds mercy in his hand, though, even though he's sovereign. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast coming to a close. Remember, our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis saying goodbye and God bless you.